Welcome to Bite at a Time Books, where we read you your favorite classics one bite at a time. My name is Bree Carlisle, and I love to read, and wanted to share my passion with listeners like you. If you want to know what's coming next and vote on upcoming books, sign up for our newsletter at biteatatimebooks.com. You'll also find our new t-shirts in the shop, including podcast shirts and quote shirts from your favorite classic novels. Be sure to follow my show on your favorite podcast platform so you get all the new episodes. You can find most of our links in the show notes. But also our website, biteatatimebooks.com, includes all of the links for our show, including to our Patreon to support the show, and YouTube, where we have special behind the narration of the episodes. We're part of the Bite at a Time Books Productions Network. If you'd also like to hear what inspired your favorite classic authors to write their novels, and what was going on in the world at the time, check out the Bite at a Time Books Behind the Story podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please note, while we try to keep the text as close to the original as possible, some words have been changed to honor the marginalized communities who've identified the words as harmful, and to stay in alignment with Bite at a Time Books' brand values. Today we'll be continuing Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. Chapter 3, The Heroism of Passive Obedience. The door opened. It opened wide with a rapid movement as though someone had given it an energetic and resolute push. A man entered. We already know the man. It was the wayfarer whom we've seen wandering about in search of shelter. He entered, advanced a step, and halted, leaving the door open behind him. He had his knapsack on his shoulders, his cudgel in his hand, a rough, audacious, weary, and violent expression in his eyes. The fire on the hearth lighted him up. He was hideous. It was a sinister apparition. Madame Magloire had not even the strength to utter a cry. She trembled and stood with her mouth wide open. Mademoiselle Baptistine turned round, beheld the man entering, and half started up in terror. Then, turning her head by degrees towards the fireplace again, she began to observe her brother, and her face became once more profoundly calm and serene. The bishop fixed a tranquil eye on the man. As he opened his mouth, doubtless to ask the newcomer what he desired, the man rested both hands on his staff, directed his gaze at the old man and the two women, and without waiting for the bishop to speak, he said in a loud voice, "See here, my name is Jean Valjean. I am a convict from the galleys. I have passed 19 years in the galleys. I was liberated 4 days ago and am on my way to Pontarlier, which is my destination. I've been walking for 4 days since I left Toulon. I've traveled a dozen leagues today on foot. This evening, when I arrived in these parts, I went to an inn and they turned me out because of my yellow passport, which I had shown at the town hall. I had to do it. I went to an inn. They said to me, 'Be off at both places.' No one would take me. I went to the prison. The jailer would not admit me. I went into a dog's kennel. The dog bit me and chased me off as though he had been a man. One would have said that he knew who I was. I went into the fields intending to sleep in the open air beneath the stars. There were no stars. I thought it was going to rain, and I re-entered the town to seek the recess of a doorway. Yonder in the square, I meant to sleep on a stone bench. A good woman pointed out your house to me and said to me, 'Knock there.' I have knocked. What is this place? Do you keep an inn? I have money. Savings, 109 francs, 15 sous, which I earned in the galleys by my labor, in the course of 19 years. I will pay. What is that to me? I have money. I am very weary. 12 leagues on foot. I am very hungry. Are you willing that I should remain?"
"Madame Magloire," said the bishop, "you will set another place."
The man advanced 3 paces and approached the lamp which was on the table.
"Stop,"
he resumed, as though he had not quite understood.
"That's not it, did you hear? I am a galley slave, a convict. I come from the galleys."
He drew from his pocket a large sheet of yellow paper, which he unfolded.
"Here's my passport, yellow as you see. This serves to expel me from every place where I go. Will you read it? I know how to read. I learned in the galleys. There's a school there for those who choose to learn. Hold, this is what they put on this passport. Jean Valjean, discharged convict, native of..." That is nothing to you. Has been 19 years in the galleys, 5 years for housebreaking and burglary, 14 years for having attempted to escape on 4 occasions. He's a very dangerous man. There, everyone has cast me out. Are you willing to receive me? Is this an inn? Will you give me something to eat and a bed? Have you a stable? Madame Magloire, said the bishop, you will put white sheets on the bed in the alcove.
We've already explained the character of the two women's obedience. Madame Magloire retired to execute these orders.
The bishop turned to the man. Sit down, sir, and warm yourself. We are going to sup in a few moments, and your bed will be prepared while you are supping.
At this point, the man suddenly comprehended. The expression of his face, up to that time somber and harsh, bore the imprint of stupefaction, of doubt, of joy, and became extraordinary. He began stammering like a crazy man.
Really? What, you will keep me? You do not drive me forth. A convict, you call me sir. You do not address me as thou. Get out of here, you dog, is what people always say to me. I felt sure that you would expel me, so I told you at once who I am. Oh, what a good woman that was who directed me hither. I'm going to sup. A bed with a mattress and sheets like the rest of the world. A bed. It is 19 years since I have slept in a bed. You actually do not want me to go. You are good people. Besides, I have money. I will pay well. Pardon me, Monsieur the Innkeeper, but what is your name? I will pay anything you ask. You are a fine man. You are an innkeeper, are you not?
I am, replied the bishop.
A priest who lives here. A priest, said the man. Oh, what a fine priest. Then you are not going to demand any money of me. You are the curé, are you not? The curé of this big church. Well, I am a fool, truly. I had not perceived your skullcap.
As he spoke, he deposited his knapsack and his cudgel in a corner, replaced his passport in his pocket, and seated himself. Mademoiselle Baptistine gazed mildly at him. He continued,
You are humane, Monsieur le Curé. You have not scorned me. A good priest is a very good thing. Then you do not require me to pay.
No, said the bishop. Keep your money.
How much have you? Did you not tell me 109 francs? And 15 sous,
added the man.
109 francs, 15 sous. And how long did it take you to earn that?
19 years.
19 years!
The bishop sighed deeply. The man continued,
I have still the whole of my money. In 4 days, I have spent only 25 sous, which I earned by helping unload some wagons at Grasse. Since you are an abbé, I will tell you that we had a chaplain in the galleys. And one day, I saw a bishop there. Monseigneur is what they call him. He was the bishop of Major at Marsales. He is the curé who rules over the other curés, you understand. Pardon me, I say that very badly, but it is such a far-off thing to me. You understand what we are. He said mass in the middle of the galleys on an altar. He had a pointed thing made of gold on his head. It glittered in the bright light of midday. We were all ranged in lines on the 3 sides, with cannons with lighted matches facing us. We could not see very well. He spoke, but he was too far off and we did not hear. That is what a bishop is like.
While he was speaking, the bishop had gone and shut the door, which had remained wide open. Madame Magloire returned. She brought a silver fork and spoon, which she placed on the table.
Madame Magloire, said the bishop, place those things as near the fire as possible.
And turning to his guest,
the night wind is harsh on the Alps. You must be cold, sir.
Each time that he uttered the word, sir, in his voice which was so gently grave and polished, the man's face lighted up. Monsieur to a convict is like a glass of water to one of the shipwrecked of the Medusa. Ignominy thirsts for consideration.
This lamp gives a very bad light, said the bishop.
Madame Magloire understood him and went to get the 2 silver candlesticks from the chimney piece in Monseigneur's bedchamber and placed them, lighted, on the table.
Monsieur le Curé, said the man, you are good. You do not despise me. You receive me into your house. You light your candles for me, yet I have not concealed from you whence I come and that I am an unfortunate man.
The bishop, who was sitting close to him, gently touched his hand.
You could not help telling me who you were. This is not my house. It is the house of Jesus Christ. This door does not demand of him who enters whether he has a name, but whether he has a grief. You suffer, you are hungry and thirsty, you are welcome. and do not thank me. Do not say that I receive you in my house. No one is at home here except the man who needs a refuge. I say to you, we are passing by, that you are much more at home here than I am myself. Everything here is yours. What need have I to know your name? Besides, before you told me, you had one which I knew.
The man opened his eyes in astonishment.
Really? You knew what I was called?
Yes, replied the bishop.
You are called my brother. Stop, Monsieur le Curé, exclaimed the man. I was very hungry when I entered here, but you are so good that I no longer know what has happened to me.
The bishop looked at him and said,
You have suffered much? Oh, the red coat, the ball on the ankle, a plank to sleep on, heat, cold, toil, the convicts, the thrashings, the double chain for nothing, the cell for one word, even sick and in bed, still the chain. Dogs. Dogs are happier. 19 years, I am 46, now there is the yellow passport. That is what it is like.
Yes, resumed the bishop.
You have come from a very sad place. Listen, there will be more joy in heaven over the tear-bathed face of a repentant sinner than over the white robes of 100 just men. If you emerge from that sad place with thoughts of hatred and of wrath against mankind, you are deserving of pity. If you emerge with thoughts of goodwill and of peace, you are more worthy than any one of us.
In the meantime, Madame Magloire had served supper. Soup made with water, oil, bread, and salt, a little bacon, a bit of mutton, figs, a fresh cheese, and a large loaf of rye bread. She had of her own accord added to the bishop's ordinary fare a bottle of his old Mauves wine. Bishop's face at once assumed that expression of gaiety which is peculiar to hospitable natures. To table, he cried vivaciously, as was his custom when a stranger supped with him. He made the man sit on his right. Mademoiselle Baptistine, perfectly peaceable and natural, took her seat at his left. The bishop asked a blessing, then helped the soup himself, according to his custom. The man began to eat with avidity. All at once the bishop said, It strikes me there's something missing on this table. Madame Magloire had, in fact, only placed the 3 sets of forks and spoons, which were absolutely necessary. Now it was the usage of the house, when the bishop had anyone to supper, to lay out the whole 6 sets of silver on the tablecloth, an innocent ostentation. This graceful semblance of luxury was a kind of child's play, which was full of charm in that gentle and severe household which raised poverty and a dignity. Madame Magloire understood the remark, went out without saying a word, and a moment later the 3 sets of silver forks and spoons demanded by the bishop were glittering upon the cloth, symmetrically arranged before the 3 persons seated at the table. Thank you for joining Bite at a Time Books today, while we read a bite of one of your favorite classics. Again, my name is Brie Carlisle, and I hope you come back tomorrow for the next bite of Les Misérables. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at biteatatimebooks.com and check out the shop. You can check out the show notes or our website, biteatatimebooks.com, for the rest of the links for our show. We'd love to hear from you on social media as well.
Time.